This is Equip and Empower, the Christine Kane podcast. For everyone who desires to bring hope, create change, and live out their God-given destiny with passion and joy. Here's your host, Christine Kane.
Hey everyone, I am so grateful that you've joined us today. So glad that you tuned in today. I know that God has a powerful word for you that's going to help to enlarge your life and draw you closer to Him. We are finalizing our series today on going again. We are going to be people that don't just go once to God, but we're going to go again and again and again and again until we see the promise of God fulfilled. And we're looking at the life of Elijah, and I love this passage of scripture. We'll go to 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 41. The Bible says, "And Elijah said to Ahab, 'Go up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of the rushing of rain.' So Ahab went up to eat and to drink. And Elijah went up to the top of the Mount Carmel, and he bowed himself down on the earth and put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, 'Go up now, look toward the sea.' And he went up and looked, and he said, 'There is nothing.' And he said, 'Go again,' 7 times. And at the 7th time, he said, 'Behold, a little cloud like a man's hand is rising from the sea.' And he said, 'Go up and say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down, lest the rain stops you. And in a little while, the heavens grew black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he gathered up his garment and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel." I love this. We've been learning through this text that in 1 Kings 17, the prophet Elijah went to the king and said, "There will be a drought in the land. There will be no rain for 3.5 years because of the idolatry of the people and how they turned their hearts against God." And then we saw many signs, wonders, and miracles in 1 Kings 17 and 1 Kings 18. And then we get to this great story where there is going to be rain again. And so we've learned already in this series that your confession precedes activating the miracles of God. If we want to see God come through, we saw that the prophet Elijah spoke the word of God before he saw the promise of God. As we speak the word of God, we activate the promises of God. And we've made a decision that if we're going to go again, we're going to stop talking with fear and doubt and negativity, and we're going to start talking the language of faith. Faith is the currency of heaven. Faith transforms things. We shape our world with the words we speak. So we want to speak words of life, words of hope, words of purpose, and words of destiny. We also learned that Elijah is a praying man, and that he went and we saw that awkward situation where he put his head between his knees, hashtag awkward, and and that his servant 7 times went and he was looking, because I love what the prophet says. He says, "I heard the sound of rain." You can hear things in the spirit before you see it in the natural. That's because we walk by faith and not by sight. Very often when we're going to open a new office for A21, or I'm feeling prompted to start a new initiative for Propel Women, I hear it in my spirit before I see it in the natural. I hear it and then I see it. And there's a lot to be said about hearing the voice of God. We hear it through His word. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if we want to learn to walk by faith and not by sight, we've got to hear the word of God so that we can walk into the promises of God. And then we get to this place where you've got to learn, you've got to go again, even when you see nothing. Let me just say this: nothing tests your faith like nothing. You need to hear that right now. Nothing tests your faith like nothing. When you've been believing God and nothing happens, and you go again and you come back with one word, nothing. I've been believing God for healing and the doctor's report came back, nothing has changed. I've been believing God for a marriage restoration and he comes, but everything's the same, nothing has changed. It doesn't seem like that child is any closer to coming back into the promise of God, nothing has changed. Nothing will test your faith like nothing. The servant of Elijah, 7 times, nothing Nothing. Can your faith pass the invisibility test? Can you continue to believe God in faith when you won't see it? Because that is when most Christians give up. That's the point so many people step out of the promise of God, out of the purpose of God, because they can't see it. Nothing will test your faith like nothing. And I'm telling you, there are some of the most challenging seasons in my Christian life. When I've been hanging on and going, God, nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. I've been praying about this situation and it seems like nothing. That's when the enemy will get in your ear and start telling you, you know what? Your God doesn't really care about you. Your God really doesn't care if you have a breakthrough or not. You can just stop praying about that because his goal is to stop you from going again. Because I don't know when that cloud's going to come, but the fact is if you've heard the sound of rain, you've heard the promise of God, you can hold on to that promise and you can keep declaring and decreeing that promise until you see the cloud, but you've got to keep going again. The challenge with so many of us is that we put our head in the sand and we no longer go again. We don't turn up to church in faith when we're hearing the word of God. We don't open the word of God in our quiet time and believe God to speak to us. We don't believe for a word from the Lord. We've stopped going again. And it is my intention in this series to activate your faith that you would go again so that you can see the cloud. Now, the interesting thing is when you see something, it's often not everything. And a lot of us, because we don't see everything, we miss the something. He said, I saw a cloud. I no longer see nothing. I now see something. I used to see nothing. Now I'm seeing something, but it's a tiny cloud. You see, I built my whole life and my whole ministry on the tiny cloud. Because when everyone's going, oh, like, that's just a tiny cloud, I'm like, that's the promise. That's it. Just because it's not everything yet doesn't mean it's not everything now. It actually has the seeds and the ingredients for everything now. But if you don't see the potential in the cloud that's as small as a man's fist, then you are not going to be able to drink of the fullness of the promise that's in the full cloud. Don't despise the promise because it starts small. Because every promise of God starts small. And a lot of us, we want to see the fruition of the whole thing, so we miss the promise. But everything begins in seed form. He says, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand. The fact is, a little cloud led to big rain. Everything that I've seen in my life, the Bible says in the book of Zechariah, despise not the day of small beginnings. And again, I think because of our day of social media and our day of just instant connection and globalization, we see everybody's highlight reel. We see everything at the end. We see everything filtered and everything absolutely just perfect in its little box. And what happens is we want to start where someone else has finished. People say, Chris, I want to do what you do. And it's like, well, honey, you're going to have to wait 30 years because that's how long that it took 30 years to grow this. It didn't start like this. It started with six young girls in a discipleship group in my youth group. It then started to traveling to country towns in the back of nowhere to speak to 25 kids in a youth group. I thought I was Yongi Cho back then. I thought, man, this is like church growth revival. There is 25 people that God would trust me with. And the fact is that it started small. In my heart, did I see arenas? Yes. In my heart, did I see television? Did I see reaching the nations? Yes. But driving in a small car that had a gear stick that wasn't even stuck in properly, as in when I parked, I just had to take the gear stick out because it wasn't connected and just put it down by my car. I only owned one pair of jeans with a hole in it, but I would go to places that you've never heard of, places like Wagga Wagga. I know when you think of London, New York, Paris, you think Wagga Wagga. Okay, so country town in the back of New South Wales. I would go to Narandra. I spoke once to a group of students on a pig farm. Yes, I did. And I was thinking one day, New York, London, Paris, pig farm, that's how where it all went. But I spoke to them with as much passion as I'm speaking to you now because everything big always starts small. Before I could quote lots of the Bible, I had to learn one verse and one chapter and then knew one book. And you build everything small. How do I write my books? One word at a time. I'd love to tell you, I just close my eyes and go, in the name of Jesus, whoo, there's a book. But it starts with one word and then the next word becomes one paragraph. It becomes one page. It becomes one chapter. and it becomes a book. That's how you do it. How do I write my messages? The same way. Everything big starts small. And if we don't understand that, we will despise the small thing. And it's in the process of growing where the development happens and we become who we need to become to do what God calls us to do. You start with a seed. See, most of us, we abort the potential in the seed because we never plant the seed because we want the huge tree and so we despise the seed. But it will never have a big tree if we don't first plant the seed. And in every area of our life, big things always start in small places. So he says, I see a cloud. It's as small as a man's fist. So here is the deal. Are you willing to start small so that you can finish big? Are you willing to see God in the small? Because God has always used small things. Now, I know it might be almost invisible, but that does not mean it's insignificant. A lot of us confuse invisibility with insignificance. We think because you can't see it and it's not popular and it's not celebrity, it doesn't matter to God. That's because in our world, everything is on show. So we think high visibility equals high effectiveness. Don't ever confuse visibility with effectiveness. Don't ever confuse being well known for being highly effective. Some of the most effective people in the kingdom, we're all going to get to heaven and go, I am just walking, please pass me by. I didn't know who you were because you were too busy doing the work of the Lord to be on Instagram. So we never quite knew who you were, but God did. Yes. Don't ever, ever confuse those things. In the day and the age in which we live in, sometimes I look through what my daughters watch on YouTube and I'm like, you've got to be joking me. People get famous for some of the most ridiculous things on earth. I did not know you could get famous for doing dumb stuff. But you know what? I just found out that you really, really can from like deliberately throwing yourself off buildings and do. And I'm like, so you've got like 8 million followers because you will eat that amount of chocolate or something. And I'm like, you know, there are greater things in the world to aspire to. Like, let's help the poor. Let's help the marginalized. Let's make a difference in someone's life. But people just want to be famous for the sake of being famous. You go, why do I want to be famous? I don't know. I just want to be famous. And you go, what is the logic of that? Where is that going to take you? Who's it helping? How's it benefiting you? So what if you've got more eyeballs looking at you? That doesn't mean that you're more effective. It means that you've got a lot more publicity when you do something dumb. That's what it actually means. A lot more people know. But I wonder whether so often we miss God opportunities in our life because they come looking very small. And we despise the small. And we think, well, you know what? Because it's insignificant, and because it's small and because it's somewhat invisible, it must be insignificant. It must not have any value. But, you know, in the scripture, so many things started small. In Mark chapter 6, the little boy only had a little bit of lunch. He only had 5 loaves and 2 fishes and he ended up providing food for 15,000. God always takes small things and he puts his hand on it and they become big. Remember the widow in 2 Kings chapter 4 who only had a little bit of oil? Well, those jars, as many jars as they brought, just kept being filled at that time. God can do a lot when you give him a little. Remember that Moses only had a little rod in Exodus 7, but that little rod was used to see a Red Sea part. And so it is amazing. You go, God, I haven't got much. He goes, I'm not asking you for much. I'm just asking you for everything. God doesn't ask you for much. He doesn't ask you for any more than you have. He just asks you for all that you have. But what we do is we measure what we have with what somebody else has. And we think if I haven't got as much as them, God must not want what I've got. And God says, I'm not asking you to give me what they've got. I'm asking you to give me what you've got. And so a lot of us, we don't give what we've got because we look at what someone else is giving or what someone else uses or someone else's gift or someone else's talent. And we think mine doesn't measure up. And God says, I wasn't asking you for theirs. I'll ask them for theirs. I'm asking you for yours. And so there's someone, and you have so devalued yourself because you think, you know what? I'm not that gifted. I'm not that talented. What can God do with someone like me? I haven't got much to give. God says, I'm not asking you to give what you don't have to give. I'm just asking you to give what you have to give. Your talent, your time, your treasure. And then as you give your little, God will make it into much. It's what he does. It's the currency of heaven. It's how the kingdom operates. Seed, time, harvest. Everything starts small and then we harvest it big. Do you remember that David only had a little slingshot? And there was a very big Goliath. And it didn't take a big slingshot, it just took David's slingshot. That's all that took. Do you remember that the widow, she only had a little bit of offering in Luke chapter 21. She only threw in two mites. And Jesus said, she's done more than anybody else because she gave everything that she had. Do you remember the widow in 1 Kings 17 that she had just a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil? And the prophet said to her, you know, but first give me some of that bread. And then her oil did not run dry. And she and he and all her household, the scripture says, they ate nonstop. Every big miracle started small. That's my point. Every big thing that you see always starts small. So despise not the day of small beginnings. The Bible says in Luke chapter 16, verse 10, if you are faithful in a little, you will be given much. If you see anyone in the kingdom that has a lot of responsibility or influence, you've got to understand they were faithful with a little. God did not give me this kind of opportunity because I was unfaithful in the past. Everything he gave me, the six girls went to 45 girls in a regional kind of small group. I was the overseer of that. The 45 girls went to another region of the youth ministry. Then it went to being a fully fledged youth leader. Then I became a state youth director. Then I looked after a youth service. And with every bit of responsibility, God said, how you carry this is how I'm going to enable you to carry the rest. Christine, are you going to be faithful preaching one sermon a week when you go to a youth group? That's awesome. Do that for 30 years and then I'll put you on every day to speak to people all over the world. Christine, are you going to be faithful with one team member? Awesome. Now I'm going to give you hundreds in 12 countries around the world, but are you faithful with the one? So if you're not faithful with what's in your hand, God can't give you what's in your heart. And how you treat the one is how you treat everyone. Do for one what you wish you could do for everyone. It all starts small. I always say with A21, even now with 14 offices around the world, that it's always for the one. It's always been about the one. It always will be about the one. In our office, we ring a bell every time one is rescued. And we don't ever, ever diminish the value of one human being rescued from slavery. Our audacious goal is to abolish slavery everywhere forever. Well, the day we start devaluing the one is the day we will never reach that goal. But every time we ring the bell for every single one that is rescued, we're saying to ourselves and to God, everyone matters. And we will fight for the one every single time. We will continue to fight for the one. And so ask yourself, are you in the stage where you've just got a little? What are you doing with your little? I think when we started, we had one trafficker in jail in a year and we only had, you know, I remember that when that trafficker was put in jail and it took us so long to get that conviction. And then that trafficker ended up with, it was just 6 months jail and €1,000 fine, which was like nothing. But before that, there had not even been laws to convict everyone. So it took us years to fight for that. Well, just last week, we had another trafficker in Greece that was convicted and sentenced to 25 years imprisonment with €100,000 fine. I think if we didn't fight for the €1,000, 6 months fine, 10 years ago, 10 years later, we wouldn't be celebrating 25 years and €100,000 fine. You have got to never devalue the small. It always starts small. I think about our walk for freedom once happened in one city, in one country. Well, our last walk for freedom for A21 was in 400 cities in 52 countries around the world. But it's if I despise the one, we wouldn't have the 400. I remember, you know, we had one Propel chapter when we started and we thought that was awesome. And we thought we were in revival. Well, now there are multiplied thousands in 45 countries around the world, but it started with one. The whole point is with one. It was just a small cloud. I was declaring the greatness now. I was declaring that we were going to abolish slavery everywhere forever when there was no A21. But you know, the seed of it was then. And now we're starting to see the fruition because I've built my whole life and ministry on the cloud. I see a cloud the size of a man's fist. And to this day, wherever I'll go traveling, I'm like, I'm hearing a sound. Rain's coming. Something's going to, and people think, Christine, what are you smoking? I'm like, nothing. But I hear the sound. I hear the sound. And so the fact is that if you and I could look at our situation really, really hard, I guarantee you that challenging situation, that situation where you think nothing is happening, I guarantee you that you can see a cloud of hope at least the size of a man's hand. I guarantee you in your life, and so many of you are confronting so many challenging situations, so many painful situations, I understand that, so much hurt, so much chaos on the world today. But I want to challenge you today to look into that situation through the lens of faith and to find the cloud, because there's always a cloud of hope. Christ is with us in the midst of trials, in the midst of suffering, in the midst of challenges, and there's always a cloud of hope. Just because you don't see everything doesn't mean you won't see something. So look out for the something. And what will happen to you is your faith will help you to run harder and to run a whole lot faster. I love that little bit. It says, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. He gathered up his garments and he ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. I love that. It would have been like, what an interesting sight. The dude lifts up his cloak and he just starts running. Now, he's running faster than a chariot. Now, you have to understand it was 15 miles to Jezreel, 15 miles to King Ahab's kind of vacation home. Now, to outrun a chariot, I mean, that's a mighty marathon effort. But what is the point in all of that? The point is that God gives you the strength to run faster, further, and harder than you can ever run in your own ability. God's supernatural empowerment came upon him, and he was able to run harder, further, and faster. And you know, I live my life according to that, that there is no way, naturally speaking, I could do what God has called me to do. But I believe that those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. That I think the Spirit of God, the life of God, when you see a little cloud in the sky, a cloud of hope, a cloud that God is on my side, that my God is for me, that my God is good, my God does good, no matter what bad situation is happening, all you need is a little cloud. Some of us, you've been under a cloud of depression, under a cloud of discouragement, under a cloud of pain or suffering or hurt, because you have not elevated your eyes above the clouds to Christ. Because if you fix your eyes on Jesus, you will see a glimpse of hope. And one little bit of hope from God can help you overcome any adversity, can help you overcome any challenge, can help you rise up even when you feel like staying in bed. He can help you run when you feel like walking. There's something that happens when hope fills your soul, when you feel the wind of God in your back, when you feel like, I am not doing this alone anymore. I see a cloud. Oh, it's only small. It's not the whole storm yet. It's not full of rain yet, but I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. I don't need to see the whole thing to know that God is already working on my behalf. As long as I see the cloud, I see a stroke of hope in my situation. You know what? I saw that smile on that face. I saw a glimmer of hope in that situation. There might be a restoration here. I know we're not yet there at the stage where it's all reconciled, or I'm totally healed, or that breakthrough has totally come, but I'm hanging on to every bit of hope. I'm not despising hope. I'm not despising the small. I'm not going to be cynical. I'm not going to be negative. I'm not going to be critical. I'm not pulling back. I'm going to believe God. And as long as I see a cloud, I am going to be full of faith and believing God for breakthrough in my life. I see a cloud. I see a cloud. Woo! You don't need to see the whole thing. You just need to see something. You just need to see something. So I wonder, what's the something that you need to be looking for in your situation? Where is it that because you haven't seen everything, you have dismissed the fact that God might be at work in your situation? You just need to see something and get the wind of God in your back and get some hope up. Turn off some of those naysayers. Turn off some of that critical spirit. Get out of those environments where people are just full of fear and doubt and negativity and they're holding you back. Don't hang out with naysayers that go, oh yeah, as if God could do that. Look at that. That's just a tiny little cloud. That's not going to make any difference anywhere. That's not going to change anything. Get away from those people and get around some people that are going to say with you, oh, I see a cloud. There there's going to be a breakthrough that is coming. You're going to see deliverance. You are going to see chains broken and shackles broken. You're going to be set free from that addiction. I'm going to walk with you, and we're going to see restoration. We're going to see reconciliation. We're going to see healing. We're going to see breakthrough. Get around people that will see that cloud with you, and then they will run with you. Don't get around people that are going to hold you back from your destiny. Get around people that hear the sound of rain, see a little cloud, and say, I'm going to run towards the promise of God with you. We are not holding back. We are not going to be amongst those that pull back in these chaotic times. We're going to be full of faith, and we are going to run toward the purposes of God, because we believe he who promised is faithful. If God said it, he will do it, and I will go again till I see the promise. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Yes!
Thanks for listening today. We hope today's message has encouraged and helped you. By the way, we'd love to see you positioned to experience all the great things God wants to do in your life. And we've got a special gift that'll help you do that. Just go to ChristineCain.com/podcast devotional and download your free copy of Christine's 14-day devotional, Spiritual Growth Spurts.